Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
Hey, hallelujah. Well, I want you to know that what I prophesied on Sunday happened. The sun rose today, and God is still on the throne. And no matter which way you voted, I do want to say to all of the people who got out to vote, and I'm not asking who you voted for, but I'm just thankful that people got out and voted. That is your right. That is your responsibility. Amen. So thank you for doing your duty and going and voting. And whether you are happy or sad, understand that God is still on the throne. And no matter who the president is, we still know who the king is. Right? Amen. And now it's your job and my job to love people past their stuff. Amen. And whether it was on both sides, I said this Sunday, whether it was on both sides, the people who said they were leaving, I pray they do. I'm just telling you, they could vote in Hitler, and I'm still staying in America. And unless you've been in other countries, you have no idea. You think it's bad, go wherever you want to go. It ain't as good as America. And I still believe it's because of the blessing of God on America, because of people like you and me, the believers that are still praying and believing. Now, let me just give you a little bit of, encouragement, or maybe not encouragement, admonition, whatever. I don't know what it is. Y'all can tell me later. Because people will take it different ways. There's a lot of people praying on both sides. Right? I mean, you know, there were people praying on both sides. And now my prayer is that the prayer doesn't stop. Because, again, no matter who's in there, they need our prayer to right the ship here in America. For folks to be able to get along. Amen? And so you don't need to go and, because you didn't get your way, go riot. That's not the right way. I haven't gotten my way in a long time. I tried that throwing a fit stuff, but Sherry won't put up with it. When I don't get my way. But anyway, continue to pray. You know, I mean, man, people were praying and bombarding heaven. Well, it ain't time to quit. It's time to continue on. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let me do say this to you. Not tomorrow, but tomorrow week at 2 o'clock, we're going to be having a memorial service for Fred Balser. Those of many of you know that Fred passed away just a couple of weeks ago. And at 2 o'clock, we're going to have a memorial service here at the church for Fred. And so you are invited. I want you to come and be a part of that. Show your support. We had his funeral there in Cleveland, Ohio. But Barbara and I were talking, and I said, I think that it would be something good, and she did too, that to let our folks, who Fred's been a part of our church for 18 years and had been a part of every facet of this ministry. If you are, let me ask this question real quickly. I probably better do it on a Monday or on a Sunday. But if you've ever been invited to Maximum Assault by Fred, come on, lift your hand. Look around there, Barbara. Quite a few men have been invited because of Fred. And so I'm so thankful. Fred, if you've ever worked with Fred at the food ministry, come on, lift your hand. So many of you know Fred. Many of you love Fred. To know Fred is to love Fred. I mean, we like Barbara, but we love Fred. You know I'm kidding. Amen. We love Barbara. And so we'll be having his memorial service Thursday at 2 o'clock next week. What is that? The 17th. That's right. Yes. Not the 20th. The 17th. So we're excited about that, to be able to love on her a little bit more and to celebrate his life. Because how many knows that when you are a child of God, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Father. Boy, what a promise. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, glory. Thank you. Thank you, musicians. It is 7:35. I got a whole 55 minutes if I want to use it. But I probably won't need it. I probably won't need it. I just got a little something the Lord gave me for you, I believe, on Monday. I began to work on this thing, and was it Monday? No, it's Tuesday. Yeah, Tuesday. So go with me into the book of Genesis. Go back to the beginning. If you don't know where that's at, go to the front of the Bible and then turn over to UC Genesis. I want to talk to you tonight about taking back your dominion. Taking back your dominion. Now, when I talk about taking dominion back, people get excited. Yeah, glory to God. Come on, let's fight. Well, I'm not going to talk just about that, because there are some things that are required in order to take your dominion back. And you have to follow the recipe, not of a church, but of the Bible, in order to truly have dominion. All right, so we're going to Genesis chapter 3. We're going to begin in verse 5. I'm reading from the New King James Version. If you have, I haven't said this a lot. It's always on the on our announcements. But if you have a mobile device, you can go online to youversion.com. They've changed a little bit, so let me make sure. You can go on youversion.com. I got a few minutes. Let me just take a moment. I'm wasting it, ain't I? But some people don't know. All right, so go to YouVersion, come on, YouVersion.com. Go to, what, more? Go to events. I don't see events. I thought y'all were saying amen. Yeah, it's more there to the right. Go to more and then hit events. And then do CRCOG and it'll bring it up for you. Taking back your dominion. Matter of fact, if you look on there, I've already got Sundays on there. I'm not moving. All right. Come on, somebody. Who? Yeah, I did. Who? I'm not moving. No, I didn't think about that. I didn't. Who's ready for Sunday? This guy. All right. How many times does that happen? Once a year. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 5. Here's what the Bible says. God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her and he ate. I don't know if you caught that. He was right there when she ate. We want to blame the woman, but the man was right there. Amen. And you thought that little mealy-mouthed men were something new. He was right there. And he ate verse 7, then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Now, y'all know how my mind works. I'm wondering where they got the thread. Yeah? This makes you go, Yeah, yes. Well, Pastor, what's the answer? I don't know. I wasn't there. You'd have to talk to maybe, you know, somebody who was there. Don. Somebody had to be the serpent. No, I'm just kidding. I love him. Y'all know I'm just messing with him. All right. Where am I at? I have no idea. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. I wonder how many of us do this. We hide ourselves from the Lord. Father, I pray that you would grant me that which makes preaching easy and effective, and that's the anointing. And Lord, I come before you tonight humbly, knowing that I need your touch to get across, I believe, the message you've placed on my heart. And God, I pray that you would prepare our hearts to receive. And God, I pray that it doesn't come across judgmental, but it would be come across as a hand up out from where we sit, and to take place or to take back our dominion, our place of dominion that you called us to live and move. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You know, we've come to a place in our life that we feel like that we can do whatever we want to do and there are no consequences to what we do. And we have perpetuated that in our government. We've perpetuated that in our church. Or not in our church, but in the church. That God loves you. And he does. And there's nothing that can separate you from that love. But we want to claim the promises of God while we violate the principles of God. And wonder why we don't have any victory in our life. And we wonder why we don't have any dominion in our life. And we wonder why that when we speak to the powers of hell, that they laugh at us instead of run from us. And it's because of the fact that we have not allowed the principles of God to dictate our life. We've allowed, it's okay, God knows my heart, to dictate our lives. And it's going to get tight before it gets loose. A kingdom we have defined in the past as anywhere the king's voice is obeyed without question or hesitation. That's the kingdom of God. Now, we don't like kingdom examples here in America because we're a democracy. If we don't like you, we'll vote you out in 4 years or 8 years or 12 or whatever, in some cases never. But if we vote people in, we vote people out, depending on how we feel and depending on what their policies say to us. With God, you can't vote God out. You can't impeach him, and you can't repeal him. He is God. And whether you like it or not, he is the creator of the universe, and he is the king of all kings. But in order for us to operate in his kingdom, then we've got to understand the kingdom mindset and begin to work and orchestrate under the principles of God, of the king, right? So a kingdom is anywhere the king's voice is obeyed without question or hesitation. And so we always talk about King God. Sometimes we talk about little k, King the devil. But there's another king in our life, King you. And if you vote, the only person in a kingdom that gets a vote is the king. So if you vote, guess who is the king? You. And if you're the king is responsible for the protection and the provision of that kingdom. So every time that you do what you want to do instead of what God has commanded you to do, then you become the king of that area of life. Okay, now let me talk to the biggest people who are going to have trouble with the next thing I'm going to say is Pentecostals. So let me deal with y'all for a moment, or us, because I'm third generation. All right, so we Pentecostals, we were taught once you got saved, everything was covered, and you was all right, and you are. When you get saved, you are covered. But what we have done, Pastor Cash, is we have gotten saved, and we think that just because we said a prayer, that every area of our life is in alignment with God, instead of bringing every area of our life into alignment. When you got saved, your heart came into alignment with God. But now there are the areas of your life, your will, your mind, and your emotions that have to come into alignment with God also. How do we do that, preacher? We do that by the word of God. Paul said in Romans 12, 2, that do not be conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we've got to renew our mind from a democracy to a kingdom mentality, that God is king, and whatever God says, that I'm going to do what God says, because if I want God to protect and provide for that area of my life, then I've got to let God be king and not Ronnie King or not the devil king, but King Jesus as king. All right. I'm going to teach you a little bit tonight. But Webster defines kingdom as the realm in which God's will is fulfilled. Webster. A realm or region in which something is dominant. What is dominant in your life? An area or sphere in which one holds a preeminent position. That was our lot. We had it made. When I get to heaven, if the Lord will allow me to, I'm going to slap at them. We had it made, talking about mankind. All we had to do was to keep the dominion that was given. Right? All we had to do was to keep the dominion that was given. All right, so let me give you three things tonight. Point number one is this. You have to be compliant with God's principle. If you want to take back the dominion, then you got to have compliance with God's principles. And that doesn't mean you get to pick and choose. That means you got to be compliant with the principles of God. The act of compliance is the act or process of complying to a desire, demand, or proposal, conformity in fulfilling official requirements. Compliance. But we don't want to be compliant to anybody but our own self. I had some compliance that I told my children when they were small. I told them this principle. That I will never spank you unless you ask me to. They were excited about that. Because we ain't ever going to ask you to ask. But I said, no, no, no. Your actions speak louder than your voice. All right? So, compliance. I have another compliance for my children. I told them that I would do my best to pay for college, and I gave them five things that they had to comply with in order for me to do what I said I would do. If you violate these five, then my blessing on your life or in this area, I want you to catch it. I didn't say that you're no longer my children. But I said, in this area, I will no longer pay for college. You will pay for college. Because I'm the one sacrificing when I want to go to Outback, having to go to Burger King. Yeah, baby. Or here's one, not go at all. Have a peanut butter and bologna sandwich. It's pretty good. Bologna with peanut butter, put a little mustard on the other side. That's good, try it. I got one for you. Hey, I was Poe. You got tired of eating just normal stuff. You had to spice things up. I tell you what, I still eat it today every once in a while. Peanut butter, which is better with extra crunchy. Peanut butter. Yeah, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to just eat it. And barbecue sauce. Don't knock it till you try. Don't knock it till you try. Listen, I know what it is to have your dessert as cornbread with some barbecue sauce. Yeah, come on. All right, so here's what I said. Now, am I being unreasonable if I tell my children, if you fulfill my five principles, I will do everything in my power to pay for your college? Well, no, that's not unreasonable. Well, it's according to what it is. Well, I'll tell you real quickly what it is. One, you got to keep a 3.0 GPA. Now, I know some of you are like, well, I didn't do that. Well, I'm not asking you to. This is just me. This is me. This is what me and my kids came up with and my wife. All right? No, 3.0 GPA. We said no tattoos. No piercings other than your ear. We said no sex. Well, how are you going to know that? If you're pregnant, you probably had it. And then no marriage. What? You didn't go to find no spouse. You went to go get an education. Because if you get a spouse, your spouse is responsible for your bills. I'm a little old school like that. All right? Now, those are just my compliances. If you do these principles, then I will do this. But we don't like it when God does that. God says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, then love your neighbor. All right, let me move on a little bit further. Adam and Eve blew it in the garden, and we lost dominion. What's my next one, Roger? There we go. All we had to do was keep dominion. Was to comply or obey God's proposal. Now that's not doing too much. Now I want you to think about this in your mind. Here's what God says. Okay. Listen, out of all the garden, you can eat to your heart's content. You can eat anything, everything's good, but there's just a couple of trees I want you to leave alone. I want you to leave that tree alone. Now, here's where most people miss it. Do you know that is a type of tithing? God says, you leave that alone. Well, why does God need it? God didn't need it. But he said, you leave that alone. That's what God says about our tithe. Leave that alone. It's holy unto me. Does God need your tithe? No, the church might, but God doesn't. All right? But that is a dominion. That is a principle of ownership. You know, when I'm at my house, my sister-in-law and her friend came to stay the night with us the other day. And if I were to tell my guest, you're in my house, you can have the full run of the house, but I want you to stay out of that room. I expect them to stay out of that room. But human nature says, I wonder what's in that new room. Right? So when God says, you can eat anything, but don't eat of that. Well, I wonder what about that. And then human nature says, how close can I get without violating the principle? And so you go over and say, well, he didn't say to look at it. He didn't say not to look at it. He didn't say not to lick it. But if you will remember in the scriptures, Eve added to what God said. Or no, I'm sorry, the devil did. Because the devil said, we are not to touch it. But all God says is don't eat it. All right? So, and because of what they did, they violated God's principle. And so they blew it. We lost dominion. We forfeited our position. We forfeited our authority. And we forfeited our dominion. But through disobedience to the terms of the rule, man fell away from God and lost his right to govern earth. Verses 22 and 23. In the process, the earth became cursed and man was severed from the life power essential for ruling in God's kingdom. That's what happened. The only way people truly can be happy and fulfilled is by plugging back into the life source of Christ, of God. And we do that through the cross of Calvary. We do that through the blood of Jesus. All right, beyond the tragedy of man's personal loss, a couple of things happen. First, through disobedience to God and submission to the serpent's suggestions, man forfeited dominion to the serpent. All right? Now, all that really means is that because that he submitted to the enemy, he gave the enemy the upper hand. How many times do you and I submit to the enemy or submit to our flesh and we give the enemy the upper hand? And we get ourselves, I don't know about y'all, but I know me. I get myself into things that I expect God to get me out of. Let me just say here. I think it's my next one. If I did it right. Give my next one, Broderick. All right, yeah, Christ should have been on the next one. The devil can't make you do anything. Well, you need to let that sink in. Well, the devil made me do it. No, he did not. He doesn't have that kind of power. There was a woman that her and her husband were struggling a little financially, and she had went and bought a dress. And she paid a lot of money for this dress, but man, it looked good. And she came home and she went by her husband, and her husband happened to see the price tag. He said, oh my goodness, you spent that much on a dress? She said, oh honey, I just couldn't help myself. She said, honey, that's almost a week's pay. Are you crazy? And so they began to this little bickering. And finally the woman said, oh, the devil made me do it. And he said to her, what Adam should have said to Eve. He said, well, don't you know that we have power over the devil? You could tell the devil to get thee behind me. She said, I did. He said, what happened? She said, the devil said it looked good from back there too. But here's the reality. The devil cannot make you do anything. Boy, I want you to get this. He suggests, he tempts, he sets you up, but you have free will. Just as God is not going to make you serve him, the enemy has no power to make you follow after him. He sets you up. Just as a show of hands, how many know that you've been set up by the devil? You went through something and you know, maybe it was sin, maybe whatever. You know you were set up by the devil. The devil made those circumstances and you did not make the right choices. And it'd be easy to go, oh, the devil did this. Oh, no, you did. Because he cannot make you. Revelations 12:9 verifies that the spirit employing the snake's form was Satan himself. Satan at that point became the administrator of the now cursed realm. But here amid the tragedy, church, amid the tragedy, the sequence of events, God, hallelujah, God begins to move redemptively and puts a plan into place to put me and you back in the driver's seat. He begins a redemptive plan to say that, bless God, the devil's not going to get the best of us. He might bruise our heel, but we will crush his head. God put together a redemptive plan for you and I. In the form of the cross. Point number two is this. You got to have compliance with God's principles, but you also need to have communion with God's presence. Communion with God's presence. Communion is defined as intimate fellowship. You know, who was here? Somebody was here today. Who was here in the church today? Anybody? All right, I don't remember. But, all right, George was here yesterday. George was here yesterday, and I walked by, and George and I are friends, and I walked by and said hello to her. But we didn't have great fellowship, certainly not intimate, but we didn't have fellowship. Are you listening to me? And that's how most of us operate with God. We just pass God by. Hey, how you doing? Hey, God, how you doing? We come to church. All right, God, I'm here. Hey, God. Then we begin to have real communion with God. And I don't want to call it communion. But we begin to have conversation with God when things go wrong. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh. And we begin to get his attention. But when everything's going okay, hey God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me. But communion is having fellowship, is having understanding. You know, there are some of you that I know, but then there are others I know better than others, right? All right, you know, all right. I met a young man earlier today. I know his mom and dad, or I know his grandmother and grandfather. So I know him, but do you think that I'm going to know him as good as I'm going to know, I don't know, just say maybe Roger or Jane, whom I've known for 20 years. We've eat together and we have worked side by side together for the last 4 years and we've worked together even before then. I mean, you understand? I know him. You know, or what about John and Charlene, whom I've known for 20 years and been through hell and high water with them? All right? I mean, but am I getting through to you? But we cannot expect to have the dominion that God wants us to have by just having a passing relationship with him. All right, there are some of you, oh God. All right, there are some of you that I know, all right, but then there are some that I really know. All right, I know Tammy, and then I know, I can't remember your name, Brandon, but I know your face. But do you think that if I needed something and I knew Brandon had it, would I go ask him for it? No, because I really don't know him. So I would go to Tammy in order to be my intercessor to her husband. I told you I didn't know him. Because I know Tammy a little better than I know Brandon. But then
if I didn't feel comfortable with that, then I would go to Dave or Mary, who I've known since dirt. Because I know, and then listen, and then there's some people you know that they're not going to loan you nothing. Right? All right, now let me just, you know, everybody don't know this. I didn't know this, Steve, Gypsy. I didn't know this for a long time. I didn't know it was a big deal for somebody to loan you their Harley to ride. Oh, snap, I didn't know. So somebody offered me to ride their Harley when I first got my motorcycle license. I was like, sure, yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Now that I am an experienced and hardened biker, now I know not to even go up and touch a bike without somebody's permission. You sure don't go sit on it, right? And so when I was in Louisiana, these guys out there would go, hey, Pastor. He said, Pastor Ronnie, this last time I was out there, he said, Pastor Ronnie, you gonna go riding while you're here? I go, no, man, I didn't bring my bike. He goes, well, you could use mine. And I go, dude, bro. And I knew it was a big deal because he had a patch that said, you'd be better off touching my wife than my bike. But he said to me, I've never offered my bike to anyone else. And I went, man, we're connected. I think on a level I'm not sure I want to be connected to you on. But what I'm saying is you don't do that through passing. And many of us don't have communion with God. We just have shallow talks with God. We just have shallow conversations. And we have conversations that says, Lord, here's what I need you to do for me. But how many times have we ever asked God, Lord, what would you like from me? What do you want me to do? Communion. All we had to do is to have communion with God and be aware of who else we had communion with. My God. Oh, shoot. I'm on point two. Boy, I could go right there for a little while. All we had to do in the garden, have communion with God, and be aware of who else we had communion with. All right? Because here's what God said. When he said, where were you? Let me just tell you how to get an A on the test. If God asks you a question, he already knows the answer. So you might as well just come clean. So he said, where were you? He said, I heard you coming and we were naked and we hid ourselves. Read it for yourself, because it says in chapter 3, who told you you were naked? Who you else you been talking to? Who else you been communing with? Because the last time I checked, the only person that you were supposed to be communing with was me. So somebody else had to get in your space and in your mind and mess you up. So you can say whatever you want to, but you need to be careful who you give access in the innermost being of your spirit and of your life. Think about whom Adam had intimate fellowship with, God and Eve. And he allowed the fellowship or communion of his wife, God, to outweigh the communion with God. I want you to get that. He allowed the fellowship or communion of his wife to outweigh the communion with God. How many people right now are lost because their spouse was lost? And how many got tired of going to church without their spouse, so they just quit going, and now everybody's lost? I done told my wife, baby, I love you, but if you're going to go to hell, you're going to hell all by yourself. I told my children, I love you, but if you're going to go to hell, you're going to hell all by yourself. I'm not going with you. I would cross an ocean. I would crawl over glass, but I am not going to hell for you and or over you or because of you. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, whether it's my house or not. Me, I'm going to serve the Lord, and I'm going to make it to heaven because I've read a little bit about hell, and I'm not going there. It's so important as to who we allow to influence our life and our mind. There are many marriages that you allow the communion of your spouse to outweigh the fellowship of your God. Well, I'm waiting on my spouse to start serving God before I really commit to Christ and sell out. I always think about, let me ask you this. How many of you sitting in this place today that you started church, you got saved before your spouse got saved, and you went to church without your spouse? All right, now those of you that have your hand up, how many that your spouse finally came in? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Boy, I know if y'all wasn't here for Baptism Sunday, oh Ron over there, his wife, he said she kept praying, she kept believing for her husband to go to church. He never would go, and they finally went. He didn't like that church. He said, well, if you'll go to another church, I'll go. They came here and been here for 2 years? Three years, and got saved a few months after he got here, and now they're sitting on the seat together or on the row together, saved, sanctified, and they're going to heaven. Come on, somebody. I know it gets old, but don't you compromise. Don't you compromise. You continue to do what you know to do. And God would make it happen. I could think about Jim and Carol Hayjack. Carol came to church for years. And she had always prayed, pray for my husband. And one day they came to the church, or he came to church. Next thing I know, he was saved. Come on, somebody. God is good all the time. If you're not careful, is it tougher, Pastor? Absolutely it is. If my spouse didn't come to church, if my spouse didn't love God, it would be difficult. But I've committed that I'm not going to let her drag me out of the safety of the ark of God. All right? Because if I leave the ark, then there's no safety for any of my family. My God, somebody hear me. So I'm there. Here's what I don't get. Let me just tell you what I don't get real quickly. I don't get these people who get upset that their spouse goes to church. I mean, I won't. I mean, unless they're preaching something crazy. I mean, unless, you know, going to church ought to make you a better person. Going to church ought to make you a better husband, a wife, a daughter, mother, a friend, a worker. That's what church ought to do. But it's crazy. People don't want their children to come to church. Really? Are you kidding me? I'm trying. Your spouse is going to cause you to live below your potential, and neither one of you are going to be happy. I love what Joyce Meyer said many years ago. She said her husband would ask her to go places and things like that. She said, no, I don't want to do it. And then she'd get mad because he went on. Your spouse. Let me move on. You can't allow anyone to sway you away from doing what God requires. Because here's the other one. Not only does the devil not have the power to make you do anything, no one has the power to make you sin. Only persuade you. Only persuade you. 2 Timothy 1:12 says, for this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. One lesson that Genesis teaches us, church, is that God hates sin and has born again believers who have the power of the Holy Spirit working within us. We can and must choose not to sin. The devil will always come to tempt us, but the choice to give in to that temptation is on us. It is ours. Just as it was Adam and Eve's. Man fell by choice. When we become our own authority, when we make decisions apart from God's guidance, we're easy prey for Satan's deception. Now here's what's crazy. Right after the fall, in Genesis chapter 3, verses 16 through 20, right after the fall, the war between the sexes started. And it ain't ever ended. Men and women have experienced problems with differences ever since. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were joint rulers over paradise. But after the fall, God assigned them different roles. And I could talk about that, but I got to hurry. I'm going to give you the last one. Commitment. Point number three, commitment to God's principles or provision. God's, or commitment to God's provision. A firm understanding that one will do a thing. That's what it means. A firm understanding that one will do, that I'm going to do this thing. We're not convinced that God will do what he said he will do. That's the problem. We're not convinced. And we try to circumvent what we think God wants out of us. Well, does God really want that, or can I get away with this? Adam and Eve lived in a perfect world and had a perfect relationship, and all they had to do was to trust God's goodness and obey God's word. But sometimes I think we get the feeling that God is withholding something good from us. God said that every good and perfect thing comes from him. Let me tell you about commitment and sacrifice. They go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. Commitment and sacrifice go hand in hand. If you're committed, then you will make some sacrifices. Let me ask this. Let me ask any married man in this room that you do everything you want to do. Y'all some smart married men. Let me ask you married women. Is there any married women who do everything they want to do? If you raised your hand, I know her husband. If you did everything you want to do, your husband's probably a punk. Pastor Cash, could you take them into the office and do some marital counseling with them? Because trust me, they're going to need it. No, we all make compromises, don't we? We all sacrifice. We all sacrifice because we're committed to one another. I mean, do you know why I don't have more toys? Because I have a wife. And do you know why my wife doesn't have any more shoes and dresses? Because we don't have any money. No. Not because she has a husband. Amen. Many of us lost our dominion because we're not willing to be committed. It may cost you something. You talk to anybody successful. There's sacrifice involved. There's commitment involved. You know, I was 28, 29 years old, and this guy got saved, and he was in our church, and he was at my house, and we were working on my boat at the time, and he said to me, Pastor, I just don't understand it. I said, what do you don't understand? He said, we're the same age. He said, you're a pastor, for God's sake. You got more than I got, and you're a pastor. I go, how many times have you changed jobs?
Well, I don't know.
I said, I know that I've only known you 3 years and you've had 8 jobs in 3 years.
Well, but I didn't like the one I was at.
Well, you think I always like the one I'm at? Wait a minute, you're the pastor. I said, do you think I always like the one I'm at? There's sometimes I don't want to be the pastor. Sometimes I just want to be somebody else. Right? But what I'm saying is we, for whatever reason, we have forgot sometimes, or many times, commitment and sacrifice, they go hand in hand. I remember the story I told last week about wanting to hit my supervisor? Can I tell you why I didn't? One of the reasons why I did, the Lord told me to sing. Remember I told you that story? Well, I looked outside and I seen my car. And I thought, that's a car payment. And then I thought, Sherry's at home and she's going to want to eat something. She likes electricity. And I thought about my wife being home. If it had been just me, I might have just went ahead and just did it. But I sacrificed for my wife. Not, but you know, you get what I'm saying. Is I was committed because it's bigger than just me. Your life is bigger than just you. God don't want it if you don't love it. God don't want it if you don't love it. The disciples asked Jesus why they didn't have dominion over the demons. Jesus said this, and I'm done. He said, because this kind comes but by prayer and fasting. That's why. So I want you just to take a few moments tonight. And I want you to examine your own life. And I want you to ask yourself these questions. Am I compliant with God's principles? I mean, and I want you to really look. I mean, you know, how many other than me is good at lying to yourself? Yeah, we got a few in here. What do you mean by that? You know, everybody does it. You look in the mirror. Well, I ain't too bad. Yeah, I think I can have another Snickers. All right, yeah. We all do. You don't think so? All right, dudes. How many ever still get in the mirror? I still got it. No, you don't. I got some things running over in this mind that y'all just better be glad that I am hitting my edit button. Some of y'all don't think I have one. Y'all have no idea what I edit. So ask yourself, are you compliant with God's principles? Are you truly communing with God's presence? Well, Pastor, I'm here, ain't I? No, are you communing with God's presence? Do you allow God's presence to change you? Because God's presence will change you, man. You get into God's presence, it'll take that bad attitude right up out of you. And then lastly, do you have a commitment to God's provision? Come on, let's just stand to our feet tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. I just want to do a self-awareness right now. I want you to look, don't look outward right now. I want you to look inward. Lord, what principles am I violating? And don't raise your hand. And But I wonder how many of us have ever said, oh, I'm doing everything I know to do. But yet if we really examine it, it's not half of what we really know to do. Lord, give us communion with you. And Lord, I know that you want to be in our lives more than we want you to be. So I know the issue is not with you. The issue is with us. And I recognize that. So tonight, God, we just look inside of ourselves. We want to have that dominion. We want to have that authority. We want to walk in the fullness and the newness of life. We want to walk in that, Father. So, Lord, right now, would you just reveal to each one of us, not my neighbor's principles that are being violated, mine. What am I violating to you, God? Maybe I haven't prayed like I should. Maybe I'm not tithing and I should. Maybe I'm not serving and I should. Maybe you've told me to get rid of a friend, but yet I haven't. Maybe you told me to stop going to this place, but I haven't. What rule? What commitment? What compliance? Where am I missing it, God? And then, Lord, give me the stamina. Give me the intestinal fortitude that I can say, yes, Lord, I surrender it all. I surrender it all to you. Because I want you to be my king, not just my sidekick, not my sugar daddy, not my help in trouble, but my king. In the mighty name of Jesus, Holy Spirit. I want our spirit life team to come, and I know it's time to quit, but I want our spirit life team to come just in case you might want prayer. Maybe you're having an epiphany. Maybe you're realizing you just need somebody to agree with you. Or maybe you need prayer and I didn't touch anything that what I preached tonight really didn't touch you because you got another issue and you need prayer. I want you just to step out where you are right now and let these folks begin to pray with you. If you need prayer, come now. Holy Spirit, convict our hearts. Open our lives. We worship you. You are King of Kings. You are Lord of Lords. Lord, we want you to be our King. Lord, I don't want to sit on the side any longer. I don't want to sit on the side any longer. I don't want to sit on the side any longer, God. But I want the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be in my life. I want the anointing of the Holy Spirit to have preeminence in my life so that I can walk in newness of life, so that I can walk and be free in the power of your Holy Spirit. And I give you thanks and I give you praise.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.